when we get saved, we assume that we mean business about being born again. We get in the door, and we're in the family of God. And as believers, we grow in the Lord, but when we take our position as a Christian, when we say, I'm born again, I'm saved, I'm a child of God's, then we should say at the same time, I'm going to stand fast as a believer, and nothing is going to move me, and nothing is going to pull me away from what I believe in this book and pull me back into a life of sin, a life of following the devil, a life of the world, because I've made up my mind to live for Jesus and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that's the way you feel about it today. The Bible says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's exactly what we should be as believers. So I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 20. And I want to read verses 22 through 24. Acts chapter 20. Dr. Patterson, good to see you out of the hospital and here in service. We're glad you're here. I've been praying for you, and the church has, I know. Acts chapter 20, and we'll begin with verse 22. Paul said, none of these things move me. I'm immovable. Nothing's going to deter me. Nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to get me off course. Nothing is going to make me go back on the Lord or backslide. Not going to happen. Verse 22, and now, he said, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. He was wanting to get there for the day of Pentecost. But he said, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He really didn't know exactly what he was going to face. Except this, verse 23, save that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. How would you like if that was what you were to expect every day when you went out, any city, any place, anywhere you were going? That's what Paul said about it. Verse 24, but he said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why, Paul? So that I might finish my course with joy. Notice he said finish his course, but he said also with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul had a ministry, and we all have a ministry if we are saved. And so Paul tells us that none of the things he was going to face were going to move him. Now you'll notice, first of all, that he was bound in the Spirit, verse 22. And that's a good thing to do, is number one, be saved and have the Holy Spirit living in you, and then lean on him. You know, you can talk to the Holy Spirit. He's a person. And we talk to God. We usually, when we're praying, we say, Our Father, as we were taught to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We pray to the Father. But also, we consult the Holy Spirit. We ask the Father to guide us by his Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is standing on ready to guide you and me if we'll just let him do that. The most unwise person in this building this morning would be a person who would not let the Holy Spirit guide you. We need his guidance. We need his leadership. And he will lead us if we'll let him lead us. And so Paul said, I go bound in the Spirit. The Spirit has control of me. Bound in the Spirit. Like somebody that's in handcuffs or somebody that's bound up with a rope. I'm bound in the Spirit, bound of the Spirit. He is in control of my life. And so because of that, I'm willing to go on to the place he's led me to. And right then in his life, it was Jerusalem. He said, I'm bound by the Spirit. God help us to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Just follow the Holy Spirit. And do what he says do. And I can promise you this, he'll never, ever, ever, ever lead you to do something contrary to this book. Now, I've had some weird stories told me over the years of people who said, God's Holy Spirit led us to do this. The Holy Spirit led us to do this or led us to do that. The only problem was what they were saying was contrary to what God said. It's contrary to the book. And so the Holy Spirit never contradicts the book. And the book wouldn't have been written if he hadn't controlled it. He controls the book, and the book is true. And if we go by the book and listen and do what the Holy Spirit says to do, then we follow him, and he'll lead us in the right path. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he will direct thy path through the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Keep in mind, he's in you. He's a person. Listen to his voice. And God's never spoken to me out loud or audibly. He could do it if he wanted to. God can do anything he wants to do. But in this day and age, he's seen fit to speak to us through his word. So we need to listen, and he speaks to us through his spirit. We need to have an ear and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Not just your conscience. Your conscience will lead you in the wrong direction, but the Holy Spirit will always lead you in the right direction. Bound by the Spirit, he wants to lead. Just follow. Now, Paul said, I don't know what I'm going to face. He knew some things, but he didn't really know all he was going to face. Aren't you glad God doesn't show us everything that's out there in the future? Boy, I am. If I'd have known some of the things that were going to be in my future, I might have made some different decisions on back. And maybe some of those I should have made, and my future would have been different. But we don't know what's going to be out there in the future. If you know what's going to be in the future, you can set up your booth somewhere and start making a lot of money. But you better be right every time, or the Bible says you're not a real prophet. And, of course, we don't have those today. But nobody knows what the future holds. I don't know what my future holds. You don't know what your future holds. But we can know that it doesn't really matter what our future holds. If we're following God, following the Holy Spirit, then God is going to use whatever we face for his glory. And Paul said, I'll be going out there. I may get beaten again. I may be stoned. They're going to probably throw me in jail. No matter where he went, he anticipated that might happen to him, and maybe a lot of other things that he did not anticipate. But that didn't bother him. He said, I'm following God. I'm following the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do what's right. Whatever is my lot, whatever comes my way, whatever problems I have, whatever price I have to pay, I'm going to do it because I want to follow the leadership of the Lord. So nothing moved him, not even the troubles that he was going to have. In verse 23, he knew he would have some problems, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth, the same as the Holy Spirit, in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He said, I know I'm going to have some problems. But that's all right. It doesn't matter. He was troubled on every hand, but he was not discouraged. You ever get discouraged? Most everybody in this building at times have some kind of discouragement. But you cannot let it stop you. You cannot let it move you away from God. You cannot let it bring you to the place where you don't give God your best, where you're depressed and you're backing off and you really are not living for the Lord, and you're just sort of cruising along because of what you're facing. Paul said, no, I am not going to allow myself to get down and discouraged, and by all means, I'm not going to quit. I've met some people that when they got a little discouraged, they quit on God. That's the biggest mistake you could make. When you're blue and when you're down and when you're going through the trials and when there are problems in the family and all of that, staying home is not the answer. The answer is come to God's house, fellowship with God's people, hear the man of God, declare the word of God, study it in the Sunday school Bible study, and let the word of God edify you and strengthen you so that you will not quit. Some people just quit. They get angry at God and quit. They don't like their circumstances. They quit. They blame God. I don't know why God gets all the blame for everything. God was mean to me. God was bad to me. I don't know why God did this to me. I don't know why he allowed that to come in my family. I don't know why I'm having these problems. We probably don't know, but God does know. And God knows what is best and what he allows in our lives. How do you think old Job felt? Bless his heart, he went through a lot, didn't he? You and I don't know if I'd have lasted through the first trial, let alone all the trials he had. But Job lasted through it, and as Joe Arthur pointed out, his wife had a few trials herself. We need to go through those things. There are some tests in life. Older people have the test sometimes of loneliness. Don't quit on God because you're a mature saint. Lean on God. Trust God. Widow ladies, the Bible says that your new husband, if your mate dies, is Jesus Christ. He is like a husband to the widows. It's there in the Word of God. So you have to lean on him. Don't let loneliness get you down. Loneliness can be a real problem for many adults when you have an empty nest. And let me tell you something. All of you that are worried about an empty nest, it ain't so bad. But at any rate, but some people just let it all just trouble them. My children are gone. Yeah. As I've said many times, and a lot of people are quoting me on this now, and it's not original to me, but I love to see the headlights come, but I love to see the taillights as they go too, you know. It's sort of a blessing sometimes. But I can tell you that loneliness can be a problem, but you've got to not let it hurt you, not let it stop you, not go to all these other things to try to make up for the loneliness, not go to some kind of pill or some kind of other thing in your life to make up for it. Lean on the Lord. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's death of a loved one. And we face those trials. And there's some people, I've seen people when their mate died, maybe prematurely or maybe even later in life, they just quit on God, quit coming to church, and quit serving the Lord. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. But when you go through the trial of losing a loved one, even if it's prematurely, or you go through having sickness and troubles and difficulty, then just trust in the Lord. You don't know what's out there. But you do know if you've made up your mind that you can make it through it by the grace of God, with the help of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. What about finances? Sometimes it just all goes kapooey. One of our deacons yesterday got hacked for $1,200. I told him, I said, you ought to start tithing, you know. But I feel sorry for him. You never know what's going to be out there. You never know what's going to happen. You may have your largest financial reversal in the world tomorrow. You just don't know. And with all this health care junk going on, we don't know what. Nobody knows what's going to happen. One of our families the other day had to take their daughter in for some help and for a procedure, and they had to give them $7,000 up front before they'd even talk to them. I mean cash money. So much for certain care. But at any rate, I'm just saying, you don't know. Tomorrow it may be there. What do? Lean on the Lord. Is heaven broke? No. Is God going to take care of you? Absolutely. And he reminds us, look at the birds, look at the flowers. I take care of them. You're my child. I'm going to take care of you. Now, you may be having the problems because you're not giving and tithing and because you're living in sin. And then you might be having some financial reversals so that God can get your attention and say, you need to straighten your life up. But whatever it is, God's there for us. And he's there to help us out. It may be family problems. God help us. Sometimes, you know, many of you out here, your children break your heart. You know, you've been through it. And some of you are going through it right now. And I feel for you. If I'm aware of it, made aware of it, some of you are going through it, and I don't even know it. But some of you are going through it, and I'm praying for you. But let me tell you, God will see you through. Don't quit on God. Don't slack up on God. Don't lessen your service and your dedication, commitment to the Lord. Follow the Holy Spirit. Do what God says do. Don't let family problems get you down so that you don't serve the Lord. The Lord's going to see you through it. Just hang on. Just keep praying. Don't give up. Let God do what he wants to do with whatever he's allowing in your life, and then you'll go on from there. This too shall pass. Reminds me of the hyper Calvinist that fell down the stairs. He said, thank God this predestinated part of my life is over with. Amen. So I'm not a hyper Calvinist, by the way, nor the son of a hyper Calvinist. But I'm telling you, God allows tests to come in our life, and we don't want to quit on Him. Paul said, nothing is going to move me. And notice what he said in verse 24. He said, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Wow, now that is a statement. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. You know what Paul said? Paul said, a long time ago when I got saved, I determined that I wasn't going to live for Paul. I'm going to live for Jesus. And he said, my life, it's not me. It's not about me. We all think it's about us. It's about me. Look at me. Look at what I have. Look at what I've done. Look at who I am. Look at how I'm dressed. Look at me. No, it's not about me. It's not about me in this church. It's about Jesus. It's about Him. It's always about Jesus. And Paul said, my life is not dear to me. My life is committed to God. And even if God wants me to lose my life, that's all right. Now, do you think Paul really meant that, or was he just talking? Well, you do know the rest of the story, don't you? As Paul Harvey used to say, Paul did give his life. Paul did die. Some of you have been there in the Mamertine prison in Rome. I've been there, stood there, cried like a baby, where I saw where he was incarcerated in that cylindrical-type cell there, and then they cut his head off and shoved his body through the chute down to the river. Paul wasn't just talking. He said, my life's not dear to me. What's dear to me is following God, doing what God says to do. I'll lay down any part of my life, including my life, for the glory of God. That reminds us that we ought to lay down any bad habits, anything that's interfering with our service for God, our testimony for the Lord, whatever it is. Could we say, my life is not, it's not my life, it's His life. Listen, when you got saved, you were bought with a price, amen? You were purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. You are no longer your own. If you're saved, you belong to God. And so He has every right to allow whatever He allows in our lives. Paul said, I do not overvalue myself. Most of us overvalue ourselves. We shouldn't do that. And then, I like what he said at the end of it, so that I might finish my course, verse 24, with what? Say it with me. Joy. So that I might finish my course with what? Joy. And the ministry, which I have received of the Lord, God gave it to him, the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. My ministry is to get out the gospel, he said. And by the way, that is our ministry, to get out the gospel. What are we doing here? What are we living for? Why do I exist? Well, I exist to bring glory to God, to worship God. And then as a believer, I exist not only to do that, but I exist to share the good news with other people so they can be saved, which we're not doing too good a job as most Christians. We could certainly improve that. We could just get out the gospel a whole lot more and do that. And he said, I'm just going to keep on telling about Jesus. No matter what I face, no matter what comes my way, the gospel is what I'm going to do. I'm going to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It is grace, isn't it? The gospel of grace. I'm going to testify the gospel of works of God. No. I'm going to testify the gospel of grace of God. The unmerited favor that you get when you get saved, that you don't deserve, that I don't deserve, the marvelous, wonderful grace of God, where He gave His Son to die for us and paid all of our sin debt. Hey, you may have some things in your closet you wouldn't want anybody to know about it, but God knows about it. But if you'll confess your sin and come to Him, and I mean by that have a change in your attitude about Him, realize you're lost, come to Him and trust Him as your Savior, He'll wash all of your sins away. You can't earn it, you can't earn it, you can't earn it. It's grace, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Thank God. Why? The grace of God. God's grace. Don't brag about yourself. It's the grace of God. And he said, I want to finish my course with joy. I've always hoped that when I come down to the end of my ministry and my pastoring and all, that I can finish the course with J-O-Y, joy. I hope that'll be the way. I've had a lot of fun for these many, many years, and I want to have a little more fun. And there's some tough places, and there's some trials and all of that. But I've enjoyed my life. I've enjoyed serving the Lord. I've enjoyed pastoring. I even enjoyed being a youth director for a little while, not as long as you. But anyway, you're doing a good job, and God bless you. But I'm glad that we have the prospect of coming down to the end of our life, whenever that's going to be, when it's all done and said, and do it with joy. Paul said, hey, I know who I am, I know whose I am, I know why I'm here, I know my purpose, and I'm not the important one. I'll pay any price, even giving my life, that Jesus might be glorified. And I'm just going to follow the Holy Spirit of God. And wherever God leads, that'll be the right thing, and God will get glory from it. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. While our heads are bowed, I'll give a brief invitation, and here it is. If you're here without Christ and you're not saved, are you listening? I hope you're listening. If you're here without Christ and you don't know that you're on your way to heaven, you don't know you're saved, we're going to have a verse of a song in a moment. Please step out, come and say, I want to know that. I want to have that peace of knowing that I'm saved. Paul knew he was saved. Then as a believer, I just wonder if your attitude is the thing. What moves you? None of these things, these negative, bad things, Paul said, move me. Because I want to finish my course with victory, with joy. Father, bless now the invitation. Have your will. We pray for unsaved people to be saved and Christians to do what they ought to do. In Jesus' name, amen.